the meeting to order. I'll go ahead and start with the roll call. Vicki Cummins. Andy Bird.
Here.
John Poole.
Here.
I should say supervisor.
Amanda and Rusty here.
Glenn Thomas.
Supervisor Stock here.
Monica Uhas here.
Ashley here.
Have any citizens' comments? Parent comments? How's he been? All good? All right, close citizens' comments. Reports from the chair. I'll just, while you were gone, when you had these sort of made it unofficially official, we'll start at 6:30 going forward.
Okay.
That would be the only thing I have to report. Is there any other reports from any committee members? Hearing none? I don't have any communications. Didn't want to hear that. Nothing to share. All right. Everyone have a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
Some discussion about minutes. I think that there might be a clerical error that we need to correct before we approve them. So if we look at agenda item number 7 on the minutes from last month, it says Uhas moved the resolution, Gashke seconded it. And then it says that Supervisor Uhas made an amendment, Gashke seconded it. But then it says nay, Poole, Stocker, Gashke. I don't believe I voted against that. Again, I seconded it and supported it. I believe I voted in favor of it. So I think that's a clerical error. And then it did fail. So that means that somebody who's listed as an I must not have voted for it. I'm guessing that Thomas and Gashke's names are switched there. I'm assuming, Thomas, you probably voted against Uhas's motion
to amend. I don't know.
I can go back and look at the minutes or
listen to
the recording and fix that.
Okay. And then at the very bottom of that first page, it says vote on resolution. I, Thomas, Poole, Stock, Nedbusky. Supervisor Nedbusky was absent from that meeting. So I think that line must have been a carryover from, like, maybe you're using old minutes as a template or something. And so I think we need to delete that line. And then below that appears to be the correct one. I, Bird, Gashke, Uhas, name, Poole, Thomas.
What was the date on that meeting?
That was only voted on
August 16th.
August.
Against his. And then gave.
I don't know if Michelle got my email about that or not, or maybe now, maybe you're just seeing it now.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. But anyway, I think it's just a clerical error, you know, from maybe using old minutes as a template. And so I move that we strike the very last line on page 1. Because that's the incorrect vote. And then I also move that we switch Gashke and Thomas's names on the name of the I.
Is there a second on this motion? Do you want that?
Second.
Supervisor Uhas, second. Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all in favor, use the governance, say aye. Committee?
Aye.
Passes.
Still a motion.
Yeah, there's still a motion to pass the minutes. Is there any other discussion on the minutes? All in favor of passing in minutes as amended, use the governance, aye. Committee?
Aye.
Thank you for catching that.
know when you're ready, Joe.
I'm set, hi.
No, take a breath, I know you ran over here, I saw you crossing the street.
My sincere apologies.
Supervisors, I had to get a child home from an after-school program and then had about 4 minutes to eat dinner and manage it every single red light, so.
No, you're all good. You had 4 minutes for dinner? So the agenda item here is review of Corporation Council's 2022 budget.
So good evening, supervisors. My preference would be to do a sort of quick overview of the budget and then take questions, but certainly if there's questions and they go through something, I'm certainly happy to stop and address them. Let me start with what is usually one of the first questions. The office does consist of six individuals, myself, three other attorneys, and two support persons. But you'll notice in the information you have from the budget books, there's 5.7 FTEs. That's because a portion of both the first assistant's position and the sales position get charged to a different account handling liability issues, because they are our primary liaisons to our. So we do have six people, but there's only 5.7 FTEs for purposes of budgeting. You'll note that if you compare the 2023 proposed budget to the 2022 adopted, it is fairly similar. My office tends to have a fairly status quo budget from year to year. There aren't usually significant changes. The two primary drivers, it's about $80,000 more than last year. The two primary drivers of that are personnel costs, as you can see on the top part of page 317, where there's a breakdown of expenses, salaries, medical insurance, life insurance, etc. And the other primary increase is in the line item for legal fees. Legal fees is where we capture opportunities or requirements to have outside counsel. As a general matter, the office employs outside counsel in those situations where there is an actual potential and or perceived conflict. If it is a highly specialized matter, or if it is time sensitive. It's something that we might be able to do, but someone who deals with it more regularly or has a larger staff might be able to do more quickly than we would be able to. Some of the examples over the past couple of years are, as you know, we've had a number of ethics investigations that have gone to outside counsel. We sometimes refer employment matters to outside counsel, particularly if it's something that we suspect may wind up in litigation, or again, if we are so close enough to it that we feel it is appropriate to have an outside attorney looking at it instead. If there is a significant litigation that doesn't involve our insurer, some of the consultations that I do with counsel for the Times Association, one of the other employment matters that came up in 2021, no longer has any meaning, but I think in 2021 was a significant disciplinary matter involving the Sheriff's Department, where again, as I was going to be advising the Finance Committee on that grievance procedure, I thought it was inappropriate for me to also be representing, if you will, the administration who had made the determination, and that wound up being a lengthy and expensive process. Historically, the office has asked for $40,000 each year to put in that account. It may be something that we don't touch for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden we may have a year or a couple of years where there are numerous instances where we need to utilize the funds account. There's language, or has been language, in the budget resolution over the years allowing that money to roll over so that if we don't use it, it can roll up. A couple of years ago, through an oversight, it defaulted back to the general fund, so it didn't roll over. So we're sort of starting again, or starting a couple years ago at zero. In addition to the $40,000 that I typically ask for this year, unrequested by me, but certainly a welcome development, the county executive added or is proposing to add an additional $40,000 to that account. I think that's primarily because we know of at least two things coming up in 2023. I know everyone is aware of the casino matter that's currently in sort of the early stage of conversation. That is a highly, highly, highly specialized practice. We have outside counsel that we've been working with off and on since the first go around with the casino. They're also familiar with the project, they're familiar with the various legal requirements. And secondly, a couple of you may have heard me say, it is my intention in the new year to retain outside counsel to do an independent review of our ethics ordinance, see if it is as strong as it could be, if there are aspects of that ordinance that could be changed to bring us in line with best practices or otherwise alter the way we're handling. So we know there's going to be a couple of expenses in the new year. Again, I'm happy to go through sort of line by line if people would like me to, or answer any questions. The only other thing that I think I wanted to draw attention to, preemptively, if you will, is for a number of years, probably as long as I've been the Corporation Counsel, there has been a revenue line in the Corporation Counsel budget where we were expected to collect $700 a year as revenue for doing legal work for joint services. This is because the IGA that created joint services between the county and the city permitted either entity to charge for its legal services to joint services if we chose to. As far as I know, the city does not. We have sporadically over the years, I pointed out to County Executive Kirkman that I didn't know that it was necessary. It was a small amount of money. I don't know if the idea was to demonstrate that we would bring me something, but it's a very small amount of money. It is, we're really not designed to be a revenue generating unit, clearly. And on top of everything else, it really was just moving money from one pocket to the other, because obviously we fund joint services. So we were taking $700 worth of joint city county money and taking it back into the county. So the executive agreed, and I believe this has zeroed that out in terms of any expectations for our office to have revenue in the coming year. So with that, it's sort of the highlights or the overview. Again, I'm certainly happy to answer any specific questions that the committee might have about the office budget.
Through the chair to the Corporation Council. Thank you for explaining the legal fees. That was where I had a question. Is $80,000 going to be enough? Because it looks like in 2021 there may have been a surprise there. The actual was $153,000.
And I suspect that, without going back to be 100% sure, I believe it's the 21, that would encompass both the fees for the Bill Beth disciplinary matter, which wound up, amongst other things, we were paying an attorney for five nights of hearings, several hours worth. I think we were probably, just in the hearings alone, about 15 or 16 hours worth of hearings. It was also the year that we had the litigation relating to the redistricting suits, which again had to go to outside counsel. So, I mean, you never know for sure. You know, it's always the unknowns. I don't anticipate that in a normal year, if such a thing exists anymore, that $80,000 wouldn't be sufficient, but I don't know.
So is it going to remain $80,000 every year going forward, or go back down to 40?
Well, I certainly can't speak for the executive, and again, I didn't ask for the additional $40,000. That was just something that she put in when she was proposing her budget.
Well,
she's using $40,000 of ARPA funds. I think it's being put in there primarily as a stopgap for the two projects that we know are going to be happening.
That was my next question. The $40,000 in ARPA, that's where it's coming
that's
from.
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can't go over everybody's name. Why everyone kept looking behind me?
She was doing a lot of head nodding.
Good, I'm glad I got my lunch right.
Any other questions?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You can go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Just a point of curiosity, book, through the chair, Mr. Cardamone, books and manuals, what do you get on an annualized basis? Because I know that it's about $22,000 per year for books and manuals. Do you get a whole new legal set every year, or what is that?
So we don't. The books and manuals and the subscriptions, there's a little bit of blurring or crossover between those two. They're all really, really well. So subscriptions includes two pieces. It includes both various, primarily online, but also some physical legal resources, including statute books and case law books that are updated. So we do get updates on those. Subscriptions also includes our materials we get from the state bar. And we've got a project that we've been working on that we're looking to finish up and bring into 2023 that would refresh and update the ordinances in the way they're online, and there's going to be a subscription fee that our office is going to take on for that as well. In addition to that, I mean, you get a number of physical books and manuals from, again, State Bar and various legal publications. We are going through those. We have been starting to review and determine whether there are publications that we might be able to cease receiving, either because we can get them online rather than physically, or they're not particularly pertinent. I will tell you, we lawyers love our books. They look so nice on the shelves. But we are trying to see what we can do to both from a financial standpoint and also to help Michelle, who has to put them away, keep receiving.
Well, that was part of my question, and you answered the second part of it already. Thank you, I appreciate that. The other was related to the legal fees. Back to that, you're at 19,000 at the 6 month mark. You're projecting out to 40. Is there going to be residual rollover? In other words, the question was, is 80 enough? Are you potentially sitting at 95 or 100?
I don't know where we stand today with 2.5 months left. I suspect there is at least a possibility that there will be some that will work.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I get mine as sort of a follow-up to the two previous ones. So what was, there was no balance going in the legal fund, there was no balance going into 2022, or was there some amount?
21.
I think it was 21 where what was there. Well, okay. And with the 21, there wasn't a rollover as well from 20 to 21.
It might have been 20 to 21, rather than 19.
Okay.
So we were tapped out going into this year then?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right.
We started with a clean slate of $40,000.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on the proposed budget? Youth and governance?
I'll make a motion to
accept. No, I was just asking if they had any questions, not to vote. No. Okay. Yes, we need a motion to.
Motion to accept the budget as presented.
Second by Supervisor Berg. Any discussion? Hearing none. Youth and governance. Aye. If you're in favor. Committee.
Aye.
Passes. Yeah. All right, thank you. Oh, as you're going to see, Supervisor Scott suggested we start a JC sock fund. All right. Next up is ordinance amending the process of filling a vacancy on the county board. Supervisor Rodriguez. He's the author of the amendment. Make his presentation.
Good evening, everybody. I like sound good, looks like that was out of the email, so
we can all provide you with different MFAs if you need.
And check your Wi-Fi.
I'm connected to Wi-Fi. I think I'll my phone.
Bring both watches to get your authentication.
All right, so thank you everyone for allowing me to be here, especially the chairs, Thomas. What we have here tonight is an amendment to part of our solar ordinances here, here in Kenosha County, and it's really quite simple. So as you look through it, you'll notice a couple of renewables changed to just numbers, and then you'll notice that my proposal adds one sentence. Just a little bit of background on the ordinance. This ordinance handles how the county board will debate and see if anyone progresses. Currently, there's a couple of methods in place, if you will, depending on the timing of said vacancy. If it's in an even number year, it's an election, a special election will call. If it's an odd number year, it is an appointment. Up until a certain point, then the county board chair can see vacant until spring election. Everybody here tonight has been on the county board, except for Supervisor Berg, same length as me or newer. But so just some history on this. My time on the county board, to my knowledge, if I count correctly, there have been 5 vacancies. We had Supervisor Gatchke come on for a vacancy, Supervisor Felsen came on for a vacancy, Supervisor, that former Supervisor Parnelli. Supervisor Lewis, and this one,
Supervisor Maurer.
Supervisor Maurer, and then Pierce, correct. What we've seen in the past is county board chairs exercise their authority through ordinance as it's written firmly, and the ordinance does not provide language that ensures that constituents of the district that are getting new representatives chosen for them, and those of us on the county board who are voting on that appointment know who that appointee is prior to the meeting. There has been some history of county board chairs announcing their pick prior to the meeting, but there's also been history of county board chairs not doing such. What this does is this puts the filling of vacancies up for the county board much in line with how we fill other commissions and committees throughout the county. We will have the county board chair will put out the applications to the county clerk's office, review those applications, interview the applicants, and then make known to the county board who his or her pick is. Very similar to the county board chair's filling position committee or commission, and same with the county executive. Follows a similar process, not quite the same. What this does is it brings to the county board, the county board chair will make his or her pick known, almost in the sense of a first reading, and then at the following county board meeting, so essentially two readings that fill vacancy. All important things we do at the county board level that are important require two readings. Our budget has two hearings, ordinances like this one would have two readings. Some resolutions, depending on what they're for, have two readings as well, policy resolution. I think it's important that those of us who are voting for somebody to fill a seat in a district that we do not represent have ample time to review the application of that individual, time to speak with that individual, and have time to just look into that individual. Who are they? What do they do for a living? What's their background? Why do they want to be on the county board? But more importantly, it's for the constituents in that district. We're picking the representative for the remainder of that term. They're not. And I think it's important that they have voice in the process. What we have now potentially allows for county board chair to pick whoever he or she sees fit. And unless residents from that district are here to hear the announcement at the meeting, they may not know who it is. And I don't think we need to put that burden on the residents. We don't do it for anything else. So what this does is this gets out there. Obviously, I'm sure various news sources may pick it up. It gets out there. It's online, what have you. It gives time for those constituents in that district to voice their opinions to us. Perhaps come to the next coming board meeting and urge both confirming that individual, not confirming that individual, but it gives them a voice. Kenosha County, my time on the board, has prided itself on transparency. I know corporate counsel is always in favor of more transparent, the better, and I think this is a step in the right direction. So I ask for the committee's approval tonight. I'm happy to answer any questions.
The language of the change states at the next county board meeting. So in theory, could the chairperson call a special meeting the next day or the day, 2 days later.
In theory, if we could have that authority to do such a proper notice, not necessarily the spirit of the resolution, but for the ordinance change, but supposing that.
Well, because that's a hypothetical that would happen, does it make sense to put a hard time frame in there? Like 2 weeks or 4 weeks or X amount of days after the announcement?
The spirit of the ordinance is to be the regularly scheduled meeting, so I'm not sure if that's language or if you would like to have it, but that's an issue with that. My goal here is so that we have time as supervisors to back to something we're thinking of. It's joining our ranks and it's being chosen by us, not by the people.
So when a pick is announced by the chairman, is would all of the information about the person the chair is selecting be included in the agenda packet along with all the other agenda items that we will be getting ahead of that county board meeting?
Traditionally, and Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, in the past we've seen just on the county board agenda simply appointments and fill vacancy of past district with no provided materials. And then typically that happens before a regularly scheduled business for that county board. We saw that with Highway KR, that was a very contentious issue. Because then what became Supervisor Maurer's district, which was very heavily impacted by Highway KR, did not have a representative at the time. Again, right now what's happening is the county board, in his or her discretion, can choose whether to include those materials in the packet or name.
Okay, and then just a couple
of follow-ups. Can I hold on for just a second? Okay. Probably went slightly out of order. I need a motion in a second to do the discussion. So I would want to move on to this resolution and we can properly discuss.
I'll make the motion. Move the ordinance ending chapter 3.01.
Have a second? Okay, go ahead. What's your second?
Yeah, and then my main concern with this is this seems to be just delaying filling the, if there is a vacancy, the people that are in that district are not currently represented. Is that, would you just be able to confirm that with the council as far as they're not, the chair does have the option not to provide the name ahead of the board meeting?
I have advised that the way the ordinance is written is fairly broad and gives a fair amount of discretion to the county board chair. As Supervisor Rodriguez indicated, there have been instances where the name was announced at the meeting. There have been instances where the name has been announced the Thursday or Friday before when board information went out. The ordinance itself doesn't specify that procedure. It's sort of left the discretion of the chair.
And just continuing on with that reasoning, I just see the issue with this is that seat is unfilled, those people are not being represented, and if we're now waiting an additional 2 weeks after the announcement, those committee seats are vacant, the county board seat is vacant, and then that now 2 weeks following, that seat, that chair, that person could be voted down, and then now we're back to square one. It could be another 2 to 4 weeks before those people are represented. So I'm not sure if this is in the best interest for the people that are not being represented by that district, only because it keeps delaying. If the goal is transparency, I'm not going to, I don't like making changes on the fly, but if the goal is transparency, a better way to do it maybe would be to change the ordinance so that the chair does need to, put the name of the person out there with our regular meeting packet ahead of the board meeting so that we have the time to do our research just like we do on every other agenda item before we sit down and vote on just like everything else. I just see this could be kicking the can down the road a little bit too far, and now those committee seats are empty, the people are not being represented in, you know, in that time period. That's the main issue I have with this. I think you could change the ordinance to offer more transparency to the process without delaying, without the time aspect of it, which is the one part that concerns me. That's all I feel.
If I can respond to that.
Sure.
I think if you go and you ask the average citizen, whether they want to go 2 weeks without a representative, essentially, or go even longer, and get no say in who the representative is going to be, I think the ones go to 2 weeks, so they can voice their opinion. Even if it's one voice or two voices, I think it's important to give folks in that district an opportunity to speak on who their elected representative is going to be that is not elected, and much less not elected in that district, rather folks from outside the district. And I can't highlight enough, this really puts on par filling vacancy, filling any other vacancy, any other board commission from the county. And even still, it's faster yet. It's not going to a committee, it's not going to county board to get a project committee, to get a board committee to go back to county board, to get that board on that. This is still faster yet. So I understand where your concerns may be, but I think you can be transparent, more transparent. It's always a win to take that step towards transparency, take that step towards letting the public say, having a role in their county government. Just in this term on the county board, we've seen how involved and how interested the public has been in that business. And I don't think, if things were the other way around, they'd be very happy. So just for a moment, if you will, imagine what's in front of you proposed tonight was the current ordinance. And in front of you was a motion to go to the process we have currently. No second reading, no announcement of the name. I think we would all say that's ridiculous, that's preposterous, let's not do that, because it doesn't make any sense. And that's what I'm trying to get across here, is it only adds to the concerns.
Supervisor Levinsky?
Supervisor Gardner.
Oh, yeah, I just didn't look at you when I first, I was listening. I think you brought up a good point about the letting the voters have, or constituents have some say in it. Makes me wonder that maybe we should change other portion of the ordinance then to that we have a special election or something like that. Because at what point are the electors or the constituents of that district going to come up and, you know, how are they going to tell us, you know, aside from phone calls and emails, are they going to come up and speak as citizen comments and campaign essentially for that individual? I guess that's what my thought is we will never disagree with you wanting to hear from the voters. I get that, constituents. That's just something that popped into my head.
And I think that's a worthy discussion. What I tried to do here was keep the spirit of our ordinance of previous county boards and previous county boards have used and practiced under intact, the spirit of that. And that's why, you know, we were able to do that. You know, working with Joe, we did it just one sentence. And just adding that extra step of, well, it is a contingent, which is not uncommon for different levels of government. There's a vacancy, say, across the street, a judge, governor appoints, so on and so forth. You see the House, the Senate, this a very similar process as what happens in the state assembly, special election or vacancies, the remainder of the term. And I tried not to muddy the waters too much, keep the spirit of the ordinance alive while just adding to what the transition is to.
For those of you who have been around longer and have seen appointments in the past, you know, is there a limit or a certain amount of time in which the chairman has to choose replacement? How much time is that?
It's in there.
Is it in there?
What is it?
We advertise within 10 days of vacancy.
Thereafter,
we have to go through. And,
so how long typically then really is the seat, kind of, if someone just walks away, resigns, dies in cars, then whatever, know, how long is it typically open, being unrepresented?
My past recent personal history, I think it was about 7 weeks, because it fell right before Christmas. And so there were, it was, the announcement was delayed until, I think, January 5th or something like that. And then it went a couple weeks, and then the interview process and all of that.
If I may, I don't remember.
But that was an exceptional time of year. But
right, I don't remember. I spoke to somebody who said, I'm forgetting the director was. That was an instance where I said, you know, barring a holiday or something right between the process, if it's Joe, I'd say like a month, 5 weeks.
Approximately.
Supervisor Decker.
I just want to give some backstory on the ordinance that we have now. And Joe, if I'm incorrect from my memory, please correct me. But back in my, when Supervisor Kubicki was the chair, one of the county board supervisors resigned, and we did not actually have a mechanism at all at that time to appoint a person to fill that seat. So that seat was empty until we passed this ordinance.
So I'm not 100% certain, but I think we did have a version of it, and I think
but
the situation that you're thinking of, we
where the timeline fell,
it was,
we were outside that timeline, and so that seat sat vacant for quite a while.
So what happened in that instance, and you're remembering most of it correctly, what happened in that instance was we had a supervisor who actually moved out of his district after the time for filing papers had occurred.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in that particular case was that then Chair Kubicki determined that, and I'm not saying this was a good or a bad decision, but determined essentially we were so close to the election that by the time we went through the process, we were going to have a appointed supervisor sitting for one, maybe two meetings. We got pushback from a member of the city council who actually was concerned about the fact that the district was being unrepresented, and pointed that he didn't believe there was any discretion in our ordinance that would permit the seat to remain vacant. We did make a change at that point, I think it was in 2016, to sort of carve out this little chunk of time that, you know, if it occurred in the first couple of months of an election year, you know, it was up to the chair's discretion whether to fill it or not. So I think that was the last change we made. But I believe the ordinance itself to fill it existed before then. It has evolved over time.
Right, but there was an instance the seat didn't get filled, and so we did make changes to it. To Supervisor Burke's comment about a special election, the ordinance right now, as we speak, only appoints after if the papers are turned in for the fall for the election. So if we would have a special election, first of all, we'd have to file, you know, give 6 weeks or however long to collect nomination or post it in paper, give 6 weeks to collect nomination signatures. Then if there's a primary, have a primary election, then wait 4 more weeks for a general election. Us as a county incurring the costs of these elections and holding these elections, plus how many months you're talking about for a special election for a seat that's only going to be less than a year open. So if you have a vacancy that happens, let's say in August, to have a special election would actually like overlap almost the actual regular election. So the timing for that probably normally wouldn't be advantageous, well, of an appointment would fill the seat quicker.
Any other questions or discussion? Supervisor Banshaw?
You guys are first.
Okay. My only question just is there, I still don't like the consequences of just the delay that this would cause filling the seats, but I agree with the spirit of your modification here and wanting to make give more transparency to the process. Is there, I mean, through the Chair of Corporation Council, is there a way we can change this to just say that the chair has to publicly announce his pick a week before the next county board whatever, I don't know if that's in a public notice, I don't know what that is, just so that we have the name of the person, some background information, so that we can do our own research, the news can pick it up, you know, do a story if they want to, but just so it's public knowledge a week before the next county board meeting, so that we can do our homework on our own. If somebody wants to come and speak at the meeting, they can, and then, you know, we're not leaving a district unrepresented for an extended period of time is my main concern. Is that language out there? Is that possible?
There's nothing that would prevent it. I mean, we would just have to develop the language to do that, but there's certainly nothing that would prevent that. The only thing I will say is, as long as a period as it sometimes seems, having sat in with county board chairs filling this, you know, by the time you post it and then allow time for the applications to be returned and then contact everybody to set up interviews and then have those interviews and then still, I mean, just bear in mind that you know, anything like that shortens the time frame just means it compresses the process. But again, I'm not trying to dissuade you. Certainly the board could institute something like that if that's what it chose to do.
Because currently, with this change, we're now extending it for 2 weeks past all of the things that you just mentioned. So,
correct.
You know, we may save a week by doing it ahead of the county board meeting versus after is my thoughts on it. So that's my biggest concern, is that we're just leaving districts unrepresented for an extended period of time. If we can get transparency while expediting the process, I would like to see something more in line with that. That's all I have.
I can just comment on that just ever so briefly, because that was part of that process. Because I applied as well, and I was the first one that already was running, is that I think I was the last one, and you would probably remember, you were on the phone. I think I was the last one because I was in town, I was on vacation when they scheduled the interviews. I don't think there was a week that went by the time I was interviewed and he had to make a decision to allow that notice of a week before a meeting. I'm just saying, I think that process before announcing it might get extended to allow ample time for the county exec to actually go through their decision-making process once they interviewed everybody, instead of maybe making an announcement on a Friday and say, we're going to talk about it on Tuesday. I don't know. There's pluses, minuses to everything, but I think this is well within the spirit of everything.
I just want my colleagues to look at this one. You can add 2 weeks, and the voters get to say, live in that district. Or you can make it 2 weeks sooner and get no say. There are county board chairs before us, and county board chairs that will be after us. Spirit of transparency announced ahead of time. But they may not. We've seen it both ways in the last 4 years I've been on the chair. I think, I can only speak for myself, but I've worked with all of you for quite some time, or some of you for quite some time, some are a little bit newer. If I were the county board chair, I would base my decision on several factors, including the history of the candidate, or applicant rather. Their professional service, what have they done, what they do for a living, are they interested in getting on board, et cetera, et cetera. And I would be willing to stand by a candidate for 2 weeks. And that's what this is about. This is county board chair picking a candidate that they believe is qualified, that they believe can stand up to the Rivermore public call. Because we all know, those of us sitting around this table, that, you know, when you get into it, then not everybody's your best friend, right? And the criticism comes, rightfully so, for each of us. And this allows that to happen instead of stifling speech, ramming through an unelected representative for a district. So just think of it that way. Imagine this was the ordinance now. Would we vote to go back to what's in front of us? And I think the clear answer to that.
I do. I have a number of comments through the chair to As I read, well, first I'll make a statement. Following this presentation is language that's added here to create transparency, or does it create micromanagement? It creates another encumbering step on the chair. Because the spirit of this entirety says the county board chair shall appoint, the county board chair shall appoint, the county board chair may at his or her discretion appoint, the county board chair may fill on a temporary basis or leave vacant. They do all the interviewing, they do the selection. It then brings it to the board for a confirmation vote, not for an advice vote. There's nothing in this document anywhere that requires the advisement of the board members themselves. So I'm trying to understand what this resolution would then look like if adopted, because it then turns the rest of this document into a garbled mess in my mind. It says the chair has the authority, the chair has the responsibility, the chair is supposed to do these things. And then we take away from the chair and say, but only after we've advised, because we want to now interview, talk, check into, look into, run a campaign on behalf of a candidate before we take the vote. So to me, it's a little bit messy. I don't understand where transparency is lacking. I do agree with one point, and I don't know, maybe Supervisor Stock, maybe? When the agenda is put out, I don't understand why a name isn't in the agenda.
Because it doesn't have to, it's not required.
I understand, it's not required. But that, to me, would be the opportunity to announce who the selection is, rather than on the floor. And I do recall last year an appointment being made in January, I believe it was, or February timeframe, when an appointment was actually, it was January 16th. And there was a request for the information on the other candidates, which was not put forward, which is against this ordinance, quite honestly. It says right in here, it's all supposed to be provided. So I don't understand how that was allowed to happen. But the ordinance itself, to me, reads as the empowerment of the chair to appoint or to not appoint. And it's not an advise type scenario. It's a vote of consent after that. I don't agree with the transparency component of this or the need to increase, quote, transparency, because I really don't believe it creates an increase in. I think it creates an opportunity for a bit of a sideshow to be engendered. So
just respond to that.
Is it something new?
Right, yeah, I want to clarify something. This is not, your issues have put advice and consent. I think you're implying by your statements that what we have now is the county board chair picks, we vote, there's no discussion. That is not the case. There is discussion, there is debate on these appointments. And those of us who sure doesn't know that. That's not what's happening here. This is not just a no discussion up or down vote. This puts it in line with the rest. The practices we have entrusted the county board chair to fill various appointments at other committees and commissions. There's more to go through, but this, I would argue, is probably the most important that county board chair makes. It's picking an elected official that's not elected by the constituents.
Is there any other discussion? Supervisor Gillespie?
I appreciate what you're saying, Supervisor Bashaw, but we're adding more steps here, sort of, and the idea when you elect the chair is to put that you're putting your trust in them to make good decisions that they're empowered with. I also like Supervisor Stock's idea of maybe we don't add the 2 weeks, but we add a requirement that the name is published ahead of time and that all of the other applicant information is published ahead of time. It does say that in the ordinance that he or she shall interview all interested candidates and report the qualifications of all such interested persons to the county board, along with the qualifications of his or her appointee, no later than the first county board meeting occurring at least 20 days after the final day the advertisement is published. So I don't know what's happened in the past. sounds like there have been possibly times when there has been an appointment process open and you didn't get information reported to you by the chairperson about all of the applicants' qualifications. So it's in there already that it has to be reported. It just wasn't done. Is that correct?
I think I will defer to Joe. He guides the chairs through that process. So.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
A report back to the floor is, they were all very qualified, and the one I chose was this. That's a report. That's the reports we've got.
Okay, so maybe we could add language that says we'd like to see the actual applications. This is just.
I don't know that. When the county executive, for example, gets applications at the, right now we're working with applications. It's not something, at least in my experience, that I see my colleagues, and I have never done it myself, say, hey, where are all the other applicants? You get the application of whoever county executive or county board chair picks, and we debate, or sometimes there's no debate. We all think that person is a great fit, but we debate, and then we vote. And it happens. Mind you, it's gone from a referral to the county applicants, to the county executive, county board's office, county board chair's office, to the county board, to a committee, back to the county board, then there's a vote. And we do that so that the public can have a say. Whether the public chooses to have a say or not is up to the public. But I think of all issues, this is where we're going to see it, where we have seen great interest from the constituents who live in these districts, saying, hey, I'm not getting to choose who is going to represent me, getting a chance to choose. Here's my input. And what we've seen in the past is I don't get a voice in this process.
I understand what you're saying.
I can't even tell you my opinion on somebody because I don't know who it is. That's what this is about.
Is there any other discussion? I just want to keep in mind we have a board meeting in less than 5 minutes. Supervisor Sock?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion just to suspend this until our next legislative committee. I think there's, I think that I get the spirit of this ordinance change. I think it can be handled a little bit better. I think if I could, we could focus on more just letting people know up front rather than delaying it 2 weeks. I just don't want to make a change on the fly and it not be sound. So I would make a motion to just suspend the consideration of this ordinance amendment until our next legislative committee meeting.
Just a second.
There's already a motion.
I can joke, correct me if I'm wrong. The motion may be in order, but what that motion does is it kills this ordinance change. We're going to adjourn Zendine and all unfinished business. It's gone. We can start over. I disagree that this is on the fly. This has been published for several weeks.
Could we, to the point, could we
hold on? We just can't talk.
No. I'm talking about speaking to my amendment. Can it be suspended until
table.
after the budget?
I believe that the Supervisor Rodriguez is correct. You could move to postpone it, but it would expire when the board adjourns and die at the beginning of November, and it'd have to be reintroduced.
Okay.
So it certainly can be.
So it can be reintroduced after that. Okay.
So we need a second on your suggested amendment. For a second.
Second.
Is there any discussion on the amendment?
It's a motion.
I'm sorry. Hearing none. Youth and Governance. Aye or nay? Committee.
Roll call.
Supervisor Berg.
Aye.
Supervisor Kuhl.
Aye.
Supervisor Medinsky.
Nay.
Supervisor Gaske.
Aye.
Supervisor Rios.
Aye.
Supervisor Stott.
Aye.
And I'll vote nay. Does pass. I'll need some assistance here. So we do have the pending motion, the original resolution. how does that?
Well, but the matter's been tabled, so.
Right, so I mean, do we need to do anything formally in that regard?
No.
No. So this issue is now in poll, we'll say, okay.
No, it's dead.
It's dead.
Yeah.
It will take several months to get back to.
Is there any other matters that need to come before the committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Everyone else, what do you get? See you all with the.
Oh, okay, no problem.
It's been a hassle ever since they gave us, well, I ran into that problem because I was over doing jury duty. And I was, couldn't log into any Wi-Fi. And it was a, yeah, and so it ended up unrestricted, and then I came here, and so I'll just check and make sure you're not unrestricted because it messes up your.
Never happened before.
You may want to.
Doing well? Restricted Wi-Fi, but.
Yeah.